1 for the day, Perek Hey, Mishnah Zayin above Matziah. Okay, we had said that, we have to review a few basic principles here from the beginning. We had said the Torah forbade lending at interest. To be a Doraisa, it has to be both a loan as opposed to a business transaction, and a Ktsutza, the payment has to be determined and declared at the time the loan is being made. That's Midoraisa Asar. The rabbis, however, went on and forbade even things that are essentially loans, but not as a loan, but as a mekach, as a financial transaction. In other words, what the rabbi says, listen, if I would say to you, you know, I'm a wheat producer, and, you know, the wheat will be ready, you know, in October, but now we're in January. So I said, listen, give me cash now, because I need operating money, and you will give me the cash now, and when October rolls around, I will give you the wheat at the discount to market, or 10% more wheat than everyone else. Is, you know, I'll pay you back your money in wheat plus, you know, extra, because so that would be Asr Midurabanan, because it's really paying you interest. Just the only reason it's only Durabanan is because it's not a real loan. It's set up as like a business transaction. You're buying wheat from me now, buying wheat from me ahead of time. That is Asr, because it looks like ribbis. Sure, it looks like ribbis. The rabbis even went so far as to say, that's step one, even less egregious but still Asr, is if I say, listen, you pay me money now, and we'll assume, let's for argument's sake, that in October the price of wheat will be the same as it were last October. So, and we agree to contract now. So I need operating capital, give me the cash now, and I'll deliver the wheat, you know, in 10 months' time. The problem with that is, we don't actually know if the wheat prices will go up or down, and it could be wheat prices will talk and go up. So when you bought, you know, your 100 bushels of wheat for $100 from me, could be that when I deliver 100 bushels, they're worth $200. So you gave me 100 in January, I'm giving you $200 of value in October, you're getting effectively ribbis. May not be. For all we know, the price will be the talk of the same, and you'll get 100 bushels are worth $100, but maybe not. So the rabbis forbade even going to a deal where we don't know what will be in the future, because the taka could result in something that looks like ribbis. Looks like I'm giving you more than you paid for by giving me money in advance. Fine. That said, remember, it's only rabbinic in nature. The rabbis limited it, but the midoraisa will be okay. So the rabbi said, listen, even though it's we're putting fail-safe so people shouldn't come to lend at interest, things that look like interest we're not allowing, we are not having that restriction encompass two scenarios. There are two kinds of heterim where the rabbis didn't forbid. The first is called yesh lo, he has, meaning the seller already has the wheat in stock. So you, the buyer of the wheat, you don't want a year's worth of wheat now. Let's say you have a bakery. So you say, listen, bring me one bushel every Sunday, and you know, we'll set a price now, and we'll deliver the, you know, every Sunday I want one new bushel. So even though that's the same as the previous scenario where the price of the wheat could go up over time, we're agreeing to a price now, so then really you could be getting a bargain later on, which sounds like you're getting interest by paying me money ahead of time, you're getting a discount later on. The other rabbi said it's okay if yesh lo, if I have the wheat in stock already. Because then, if you wanted to, you could just take all your 52 bushels of wheat now and be done with it. You're opting not to. That's your prerogative. But the point is, since you could take it, the rabbis didn't see fit to restrict such a transaction. Other version, so it's yesh lo. If I have it, since you could take it, and it could be yours, even though you're not, the rabbis didn't restrict it in the first place. The other possibility is called yatar shar. The price has been set in the marketplace. This means that the big markets where there's, like, you know, ample supply of the good, already the price has been set. I mean, there's plenty in the marketplace. In such a scenario where even if not yesh lo, it means you want to buy wheat. I happen to not have wheat now. I won't get my wheat in stock till, you know, October. But there's plenty of wheat in the marketplace, and the price has been set for October now, whatever it is. And if you want, you could just, if you ask me, you know, I could actually get the wheat for you by going to my neighbors who still have it. That would be okay anyway, since it's as if you bought it now. Even though the price could change later on. If the price is stable enough now that you could execute your trade at the current price, get all your wheat now from other, you know, providers in the marketplace, that would be also okay. So that's the gist of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says inside, we're in Mishnah Zion here. Ein poskin al peros ad sheyetzei hashar. We can't set now a price on the delivery of the wheat that will come later on, or whatever the fruit is, whatever the produce is, until Yetzer Hashara, until the price has been set. Once the price has been set in the marketplace, that indicates that everyone's agreeing on a price. That indicates that the supply is now known. That indicates that there's plenty to go around, which means even if I don't have it, not Yeshlo as a supplier, it's in the marketplace, and if you wanted to get all 52 barrels of wheat, bushels of wheat now, you could, because they're there in the marketplace, we could arrange it. So that's as good as having it, therefore the rabbis didn't forbid it. Yatzar Shar, once the price has been set, then Poskin, you could set the price, even though I don't have in my storehouse, like I explained, therefore we can't say talk to you actually as if you bought it now, or you could have bought it now from me if you want to, because you couldn't buy it from me because I don't have it. Nevertheless, since my fellow competitors have the wheat, and the fact that it's been Yatzar Shar, the price has been set, it's clear everyone's comfortable with what kind of supply they have, therefore it's as good enough, and we could arrange to set a price now for a subsequent delivery later on. Even if it's true, that may talk a result in you getting more than you paid for, but since you're buying it now, the rabbis didn't forbid it. Hayahu tchila lekotzrim. Now, what happens if not Yeshlo, I'm sorry, not Yatzar Shar, but Yeshlo, meaning, let's say, for example, I, the wheat supplier, I'm the first to be kotzer. I'm the very first guy to get wheat in stock, because I'm the first to do my harvest. First of the harvesters. Even so, once I have it in stock, posek imo, I can set a price with you, even ala gadish. Even if I don't have like finished product, you know, flour for delivery, I only have raw, you know, wheat harvested in the field somewhere. Gadish is like a haystack. It's sitting in the stack of the field. That's enough. It's present. It's just a matter of processing. That's really legitimate. Now the Mishnah segues into that discussion of when is it considered yeshlo. So we see by wheat, it's yeshlo. I have it when it's in a stack in my field, even if it's not dried out and not threshed and not winnowed, none of that stuff. Doesn't matter. I have the wheat in my possession. That's enough to set a price. Because you could take possession now if you wanted to. Same goes when it comes to, if we're going to set a price on wine, it's val ha'abit shel anavim. Once the grapes are inside the abit is like this like big container where the grapes are set to sit in the sunshine before you press them, so they'll be easy to get, you know, maximize the amount of grape juice you get. So since you want to buy wine, the wine is present now inside the grapes, that's okay. Once you see it inside the abit container, it's good. And similarly, if you want to buy oil, once I have my olives in the container, val ha'ma'atan shel zeisim. Once the zeisim, the olives are in the ma'atan, that's equivalent of the abit sitting in the container, and you see the olives are there, so I can sell you the oil which will be extracted from those olives. Val ha'beitzim shel yotzer. If you're going to buy pottery from me, once you see the pots, the clay has been, you know, formed and illustrated, whatever, it may not have been fired yet, so it's not actually pottery, it's just like, you know, raw, unfired clay. That's enough to already set the price, because I have it already. Val hasid mishishako b'kivshan. If you want to buy like plaster for me, so as soon as it's sitting in the furnace, even though it's not actually ready to go yet, it's in the furnace, that's okay, and we can set a price. That means you basically take this like limestone and the water, you put it in the furnace to go. So it's present, it just hasn't been, you know, finished processing to make it into usable plaster yet. Finally, the Mishnah says a contentious point. Uposek imo al hazevel kol imos teshana. The Tanakama holds when it comes to fertilizer, since it's ever present in the market, everyone's got fertilizer all year round. I can set a price for you now; it's always okay. Rabbi Yossi says no. Ein poskin al hazevel ele imken haitzelo zevel ba'ashpa. The seller of the zevel of the fertilizer can't sell it unless he has it in his possession, because you never know, you know, how easy it is. It's not, you know, it's spread out, it's a small quantity, that doesn't mean it's accessible. So he says, no, if you don't have it present, you can't say yeshlo, so you have it in your storage pile. And now, the chacham and matir, and the chacham say it's okay, they're a middle shita. They say it depends what time of year it is. In the summertime, when zevel is easy to come by, so then you can set it, even if you don't have it at all, you can sell it because it's accessible in the marketplace. In the wintertime, it's hard to come by. People don't want to deal with it, they got zevel in the wintertime, it's wet and nasty. So therefore, unless you have a pile of it in your own backyard, you can't sell it price because it's not considered to be yeshlo or yatzar shar. And that's a dim. Dim like the chachamim, which means in the summertime, you don't have to have it in your possession for fertilizer, but in the wintertime, you do. Now, the Mishnah continues on. Uposuk imo kishar hagavoa. What the purchaser is allowed to do is to say, listen, we're agreeing on January 1st. You're going to deliver me. I'm going to deliver you a bushel of wheat or whatever, flour to your bakery every Sunday for a year at the price of $100 per bushel. For 52 weeks, $5,200. We're agreeing now. But we could, at the outset, you could say, listen, that's cool, but I'm expecting to get maximum bang for my buck. Shar HaGavoa means, that's what it means. Literally means that the highest price, the highest rate, I should say, but don't look at it as highest price per wheat, but how much highest wheat per price. Because you want to get the most wheat for your buck, most bang for your buck. So you can say, listen, I'm agreeing to $100 per bushel now. But if the price goes down and that becomes $50 a bushel, I'm expected to bring me 2 bushels of wheat this on the Sunday. So I'm expecting to get maximize my bang for my buck. That is kosher. That's a legitimate transaction if you stipulate ahead of time. It's not ribbis. It looks, you might think, oh, since you're can't lose anymore and you're by advance money early, you can't lose. But no, the truth is, since you're only taking possession of the wheat each week, and at that time, there's no reason why you have to take less than the fair price, so you're allowed to agree ahead of time. Right? The implication is, however, if you didn't stipulate at the time on January 1 that you're going to get the greater of either, you know, one bushel of $100 or however much wheat $100 will buy, then if you don't say that ahead of time, the Tanakhama is saying that if, you know, mid-year I deliver you wheat and you say, hey, wait a second, you're giving me one bushel of wheat, but wheat prices have gone down to $50 instead of $100 a bushel, you should give me two. And I say, oh no, you agreed to me on January 1st, one bushel for $100 every week. So if you back out, Tanakhama would say you are in the category of the Misha Para. You know, remember that from the fourth parak, the same God who punished, you know, gave retribution to the people in the door of the Mabul and door of the flag of the dispersion. You know, he's going to punish you too. That's you're cursed by that same curse. If you don't stipulate ahead of time, then you try back out later on. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Come on. Yehuda says, Afa pi shelo pasak imo kashar gavoa. Even though the purchaser never explicitly said that he wants to get the better of either the current price or the future price, even so, Yachal Omar, he's still on delivery on January, you know, on July 15th, when that Sunday comes, he can say, listen, the purchaser of the wheat who agreed on January 1, who's got his bakery, can say to me, the supplier, who agreed on January 1 to sell him the wheat, either ten li kazeh, either the baker can say to me, either give me the fair price today, you know, 2 bushels, or ten li mosai, or give me back my money. I'm not getting ripped off paying $100 a bushel when it's $50 a bushel is the going price. Rabbi Yehuda says that's implicit in the deal on day one. I'm not agreeing to be an idiot, and therefore you can't penalize me. I don't speak it out at all. And therefore, if I want to back out, that's not called Misha Para. It's not considered like, you know, backing out of a deal. And the halach, however, is like the Tanakhama, like the Chachamim, that if you don't stipulate ahead of time, you can't back. You agree. If you agree a fixed price, $100, so you agreed, and you can't back out anymore. And if you do, you're the kind of guy that backs out, and that's not good. There we go.